It is good to be saved. I'm thankful to be saved and in church, and hope we're not just here doing our duty. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just going to read the last verse of the chapter, short verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15. The Bible says this: "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Let's pray. Lord, I love you. Thank you so much for saving me. Lord, it is good to be in church on a Sunday morning. And Lord, I pray that you've been honored already. Lord, as we've sung about you and to you, and Lord, as we open your word now, we ask for your anointing on it. Lord, I need you here today, so please move and deal in hearts. Pray for any not saved, you'd save them. Pray for any that have drifted, you'd draw them back to yourself. And Lord, those that are trying to fight the good fight, you'd encourage them and strengthen them along the way. But Lord, most important, I pray you'd be honored and glorified here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul writes here and he says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." It's interesting, if you look at chapter 9, and really if you go back and look at chapter 8, they're written and their chapters given, written about giving. And I don't have it quite right, but I almost imagine Paul as he's talking about giving, and he talked about the church of Macedonia and about giving in poverty and giving out of great affliction. And it seems like Paul, when he gets to the end of chapter 9, he almost can't help himself. And he just blurts out in a way as he writes, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." As if Paul could not write or speak about giving and giving unto God without thinking of the greatest gift that had ever been given. He could contain himself no longer. And he just had to say, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Now, if you read some books, some would say he was talking about the gift of giving. I don't believe that's the gift that Paul was speaking about, although very thankful for that. But he talks about, he's thanking God for his unspeakable gift. In other words, it could not be described. Have you ever received a gift that just took your breath away or took your words away? I mean, for some people, that's a lot to take away. I mean, it left them speechless. In a good way, amen. I'm not saying when you gave your wife that new chainsaw, that not that kind of speeches, but the gift you got, it was just so great, there was nothing to say. It was an unspeakable gift. Many brag about their gifts that they give, amen. But here, Paul's speaking about a gift that transcends all other gifts. A gift that as he writes, it cannot be fully described or even explain. Really, even trying to describe the gift seemingly would only diminish from the value of it, from the amazement of it, from the total awe that he was in over the gift that God gave him. If we look back, just as a way of introduction, there's some gifts I believe mentioned here in chapter 9. Not going to preach on these, but just want to mention them, and then we'll get in the message. But he says in verse 1, he says, "As touching the ministering to the saints." I'm thankful for the gift of ministering to the saints. Amen. That is a gift. And he says there, "It's superfluous for me to write to you." In other words, it's unnecessary. You're already doing this. But thank God for the gift of those that minister to us, to those that minister for the Lord, to those that are willing to sacrifice in order to minister. He talks there, the forwardness of their mind. In other words, there was a ready and a cheerful and an eager mind ready to minister. Thank God for those whose mind is right and they're prepared. Their thoughts are right. They minister with zeal, as he mentions there in verse 2. Another gift he mentions in verse 3, he says, "I've sent the brethren." Thank God for the gift of the brethren. You know, you did not have these brothers and sisters in Christ before you got saved. It was a gift that God gave you when you got saved. Those of God's family, God's children, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank God, hey, we're no longer a child of the devil, but we're a child of God. We have a new family since we've been saved. And believe it or not, they've all been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Many of them will pray for us and minister. They'll accept us and take us just as we are and help us in our time of need. Thank God for the brethren. You see in verse 6, there's bountiful givers. He says, he talks about those which sow bountifully. In verse 13, he talks about their liberal distribution. Thank God for bountiful givers who follow the example of Jesus Christ. They give liberally and sacrificially, and they give much. Then in verse 7, we see he mentions cheerful givers. Amen. That's a gift. Not everybody's a cheerful giver. They did not give grudgingly, in other words, unwillingly or reluctant or discontentedly. It was a matter of the heart, not giving because you have to, but because you get to. And then thank God in verse 10, we see the gift of multiplication. He says, he multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Are you not thankful for God's gift of multiplication in your life? I mean, hey, it's a law of nature, but aren't you glad God instituted the law of multiplication? Could you imagine planting one green bean seed and getting one green bean seed back? That would almost defeat the purpose if you think about it. Don't think about it too long. Some of you would just blow your mind. I'm thankful for multiplication. Now listen, it can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. He uses these words of multiply, increase, abound. Boy, when I look back over my Christian life, you know what words I think of? Multiply, increase, abound. Takes one sorry, hopeless life and the increase that he does with it. God blesses abundantly. Then he mentions in verse 13, he talks about the gospel, and I'm thankful for that. What is this unspeakable gift? I'm telling you, it's a gift of eternal life that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, you know the verse says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I like Romans chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 says, but not as the offense, and that's what our sins were, amen. He says, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, Adam, many be dead, all, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Thank God for the gift of eternal life that is given through the grace of God. The Bible says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. He says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul says, thank God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of his son Jesus Christ that came and gave us eternal life. But I ask you today, what makes it an unspeakable gift? I bought a lot of gifts in my lifetime. I like buying gifts. I like buying gifts for my family. What I don't like is buying gifts for some second cousin. You're going to buy them a $25 gift they don't want. They're going to buy you a $25 gift you don't want. To me, that's ridiculous. I'm just sorry, I'm being honest. But my wife, my children, I love buying them gifts. But you know, not every gift that I've given has made them unspeakable. Or has been unspeakable. What makes this gift unspeakable? I'll tell you first, I believe because it comes from unspeakable love. John 3:16, you know the verse, for God so loved the world. Could we think about that for a minute? As I view the world today, and every once in a while I read a little bit of news, I like to keep up with what's going on in the world just a little bit, just enough, I guess, and then I get disgusted and in the flesh and I got to back off a little bit. But as I view the world that I live in today in 2022, almost 2023, which is almost 23 years later than they told us we'd be here, I don't find a whole lot of love in my heart for this world. Amen. I find disgust. Amen. I find aggravation. Amen. At times, I'll be honest, I know I'm probably not impressing you, but I'll find anger. Amen. At this world. I just can't believe how people can be so against God and against the laws of God and laws of nature and against anything that has to do with the Word of God. They've made pleasure and entertainment and ungodly people their gods, and they've chased after money and they've gone after idolatry and into witchcraft, and they've gone so far from God. And boy, it doesn't. I don't find a whole lot of my heart, amen, of love in my heart towards this world.
Amen.
But God did. Amen. For God so loved the world. Now, some people misunderstand that. They think that God was sympathetic with the world in their current condition. He was not sympathetic with the world. He did not condone what the world was doing. But you know what he did? He looked past all the sin and the foolishness, and he looked down in the hearts of people, and he loved the world. Unspeakable means that which cannot be fully declared. It's indescribable. How can you describe how holy God could love such a sinful, ungodly world? And could I make it even more personal? How could a holy, just, righteous, perfect God love a sorry person like you and me that were lost without God, so full of sin, no worries for God? How could a holy God love you and I? It is an unspeakable love that God has for you and I. One preacher said, it is the will and not the gift that makes the giver. You know the gifts that mean the most? Usually it's from the people you know that care about you the most. It may not be the one that had the most money sent, but it's just that one that you knew was not given because I have to buy you because you're going to buy me, or I got to check you off a list. No, I gave it because I love you, because I care for you. Now listen, the gift of God, it was the greatest gift ever given. But can I say His will is shown in that gift, that it was an unspeakable love that motivated Him to give us what He did. Some give gifts though for many reasons. Some just to show off. Some to outdo another. Some give a gift out of abundance. Some give it to hold over someone else. Some might even give a gift, just try to make a wrong right. But that's not why God gave His gift. He gave it out of an unspeakable love. He loved us, and therefore He gave. He had nothing to gain. He had nothing He was trying to show off or outdo another. He simply loved us. And He gave a gift that far surpassed what proved His love for us. Another preacher said, he said, the manner of giving shows the character of the giver more than the gift itself. No, could I illustrate this for you? Let's say one day I was here at church, and for about the 100,000th time, I heard Josh trying to tune that same string on his mandolin. He had tuned it before church, and it sat up here during church, but he saw the need to tune it after church again. And I had all I could handle, and I took his mandolin and smashed it over this little edge here and busted it in half. Threw it back at him, said, that's just how God made me. I'm excitable. You know, I'm Irish. It's just how it is. Take it. Deal with it. And I walk off. Of course, it's God's fault He made me that way. I mean, hey, you know, He just drove me crazy. He should have a little charity with me. I mean, he's driving me crazy. I got a wife and four kids. I don't need a mandolin. Wow. Well, you know, me being so spiritual, in about 4 or 5 days, I start feeling bad about it. I see Josh coming to church Wednesday night, the puppy dog look. He's got no mandolin to tune constantly. Daniel and Tim hide their guitars from him so he can't tune them. So after church, I woke up Josh, said, Joshua, I mean, you know, I wish you hadn't been so annoying and you just drove me crazy. But anyways, here's $20. Fix your mandolin. Walk away. I mean, I'd big giver $20. That's a lot of money. I have a wife and four kids, remember? And several fish and whatever else. And later, Brother Dan says, was there a problem with Josh? Yeah, but I mean, I paid him for it. It's all good. I took care of it. I'm not sure Josh is going to find full forgiveness. It's not even the $20 that might buy one or two of the strings he needs to replace. Why? Because my will shows I'd break it all over again if I could. That's how some give, but not God. Not God. Now if I told Josh, hey Josh, we're back up to the 5, 6 days later. I see the puppy dog look at Josh. Hey Josh, Listen, I shouldn't have busted your man, Lynn. I was in the flesh, like we most are. I'm going to make it right to you. And he's thinking, yeah, right. I said, Josh, you go find a mandolin that's worth twice as much as the one you had, and I'll buy it for you. And I'll tell you what, Josh, you can come over to my house anytime you want. You can tune it. I'm praying he doesn't take me up on this. You know what he might say? I don't know. I mean, his last name's Claire, so I'm not sure about this. He might even say, you know what? You don't need to buy me a mandolin, but just the will of the giver would show him. I was sorry about that. God's heart and his gift. See, love was the cause of the gift. The gift was an expression of love. 1 John says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. How did he show you his love? Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God. Oh, I love God. That's not love. But that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I'm telling you, you know what I saw? I was reading through Corinthians here, and Paul writes this, I forget, maybe back, it's right around these chapters. And if you remember, in 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote a pretty scalding letter. There was sin, there was division, there's fornication, there's all kinds of issues, and Paul dealt with those issues. If you read 2 Corinthians, he had sent Titus back. Titus had come back with a good report of the church at Corinth, so Paul writes a second letter. He said something in there that was interesting. He said, I wrote that first letter. He said, I didn't write it for the one that was guilty. He said, I didn't write it for the one who was done wrong. He said, I wrote it so you would know my care for you. And I thought about the Lord. Oh, he died on the cross for me. I understand that. I think he was proving his love for us. See, you would think Paul wrote that letter to correct the problems, and he did, but he didn't write it for that person who had done wrong to restore him. That wasn't his main goal. Or for the one who had been wrong to feel good. He said, to prove my care for you. You know what God did? He proved his love for us. Yet there's people that would say, I don't know if God really loves me. What more could he do? I don't know if God really cares about me. There's those that say, and they're foolish when they say it, but they say, if God was such a loving God, why does so-and-so have cancer? And why is there so much disease and hurt in the world? Well, the answer to that, I believe, is if you do not see through the love of God and the gift that he gave, how much he loves you, there's nothing more he could do to show you he loves you. The love of God is a love far greater than man's love. We know human love. We know its limitations. Human love has limits. Some have said, Bert Jack once said, he had people say, preach, I'll love you to the end. He just didn't know the end was coming so soon. It's limited. Human love, it changes. People stand in an altar and say, oh, I love you. And a little bit later, they no longer love them. It has shortcomings. We know the depths. But the love of God, listen, how sometimes do you not feel even unworthy to try to compare the love of God when all we have is human nature and human love to compare it to? Almost as if it diminishes the greatness of the love of God. Truly, the love of God in comparison to the love of man, it's indescribable. Listen, human love is not everlasting. God's love is. Human love is conditional. Some of you have loved some that you no longer love. Why? Because they did not meet a certain condition. God's love is not conditional. Human love is often selfish. God's love is not, is selfless. Human love is limited. God's love is not limited. See, God loved us when we were sinners, when we were at our worst, when we were ungodly, when we were without strength, when we had no ability to love or even show appreciation for the love we were shown. We were lost, we were undone, and yet God loved us. Why is it an unspeakable gift? Because it was given out of unspeakable love. Now that, let me say number two, because it involves unspeakable sacrifice. See, you can't truly love without it moving you to sacrifice. One preacher said, self-preservation is the first law of nature, but self-sacrifice the highest rule of grace. You know why many are not willing to sacrifice? Because they're concerned with self-preservation. What did the Lord sacrifice? Well, he left heaven for earth. The Bible says, God, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And the picture we see in the Old Testament was Abraham offering his son on the altar. He was willing to sacrifice his only son. What he showed or proved that day was that his love for God was stronger than his love for his son. And he was willing to sacrifice anything for his God. Thomas Kempis said, he who loves with purity considers not the gift, but the love of the giver. I believe when God tempted Abraham, it wasn't that he wanted his son. He wanted to prove his love for him. The Bible says this about the Lord. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. If God lets a little bit of sorrow or grief in our life, we fuss and complain and kick and scream and blame everybody and their brother. But this is part of the sacrifice that God made for us to give us this unspeakable gift. He was led as a lamb before the slaughter. He's forsaken by the Father while on the cross. He became sin and a curse for us. He suffered the ridicule, the rejection, the humility that he suffered. That was part of the sacrifice. And yet many times it seems like saved folks are so hard to sacrifice something for God. Unspeakable sacrifice. We could talk much longer. Let me say number three about this gift. The gift brings with it unspeakable results. Not only does it come from unspeakable love and involves unspeakable sacrifice, but it brings unspeakable results. I'm talking about the change that salvation brings. And I'm saying that if you're sitting here today and your life has never changed and brought unspeakable results, I doubt that you're saved. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church or what, how many great works that you've done. We learned Sunday school today, you know what the flesh loves to do? The flesh loves to do works. There's some Christians, their whole lives are built on works, what they've done. And they even tell you all they've done. Well, hey, the flesh can outdo you any day of the week. Not impressed with works. Now, you will go to work for God. Unspeakable results. New creature in Christ. Are you a new creature? You know what a new creature would do? A new creature will act different. New creature will react different. I don't know, I watch people and they react in the flesh all the time. All the time. And I wonder if they're a new creature, because a new creature would react different. You'd love different. You'd give differently. You'd speak different. You'd live different. Everything about you would be different if you were a new creature. In fact, some would say, "You're what a creature you are," because of how different your life would be. But some have never been different. They're the same they've always been. Now, they've got an excuse, and they've got somebody to blame for it all. But the Bible says we're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I don't know. You've heard pastors say this. He says, "I don't know what happened to you. All I can tell you is what happened to me." Well, I don't know what happened to you, but all I can tell you is what happened to me. I wasn't 22-year-old lost. I mean, I was lost, but I wasn't 22-year-old hippie living like dad was, pastor was, but I was a 13-year-old lost in sin church kid. That's all I know. That's what I was. I was a pretty good church kid at it, right? I knew how to act. I knew when to say certain things. I knew how to do it all. I was lost. I had no joy. I had works. No joy. I had a profession. I had a baptism. I had a church, and I had a Bible, and I had all that, but I did not have repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But I was lost. I was miserable. I thought I hid it well. Some of you think you hide your misery. I don't know how some of you could be so miserable outside of being lost. I mean, if you're saved, doesn't that count for something in your life? I mean, doesn't that give you a minimal amount of joy and peace knowing you're saved? Some miserable. Everything's wrong. No joy. Get nothing out of church. No desire for God. Always in the flesh. Hey, I'm telling you, I lived that life. I was lost. I didn't care about God. I didn't care. I went to church. I was more faithful than some people who better probably were saved. No desire for the Word of God. No desire for singing. No desire for preaching. Just pretending. Full of pride. That's why some of you don't get saved. Because for you to step out and get down to this altar, and that's what you would need to do, you'd have to humble yourself. And boy, it's a lot of pride to humble. You say, you're saying there's somebody in here not saved? Oh, I would guarantee it. We got people in here that grew up in church every day of their life. Some got saved at 13. Some got saved at 16. Some got saved at 19. That means that person who got saved at 19 sat through how many church services as a teenager? Oh, yeah, not to name names, Tina. Lost. You say you think it's just teenagers? I'd be surprised if it was just teenagers. We got enough. We got a lot of Baptist religion. I don't see a whole lot of new creatures sometimes. Boy, you got to put that pride down. The Bible says in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Boy, some people are living foolish lives. How do you have Christ? All the treasures. You know how much wisdom and knowledge you can have? As much as you want. You know what God did when He gave us Christ? He gave us a storehouse in which are contained treasures of truth and wisdom that can never be fully comprehended. And even if we could even comprehend them, can never be fully exhausted. We got the forgiveness of sins, all of our sins. Think of some of these words. Redemption, justification, being born again, redeemed, having received the atonement, reconciled to God. Those words are fairly easy to say. I mean, some of them, justification, that's a pretty long word. They're easy to say, but sometimes are they not hard to fully understand and grasp? Oh, I've been justified. Have you thought about that lately? I've been born again. I have been reconciled with God. Talk about being sealed with the Spirit. Everlasting life, never perish. A relationship with God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? I now agree with God. A new life in Christ. Bible says it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We talk about what happened already, but we haven't even begun to try to fathom what the future holds for us. I mean, it's fun to think about, but my goodness, what's the future hold? It's hard to even utter all that we have benefited and gained from the unspeakable gift from God. Really, the only recompense or thanks we could show God for the unspeakable gift, number one, is to receive it. If you've not received it, you need to receive it. If you're not saved here this morning, you need to get saved. You need to throw away your pride. You need to throw away your Baptist religion. You need to throw away your rebellion and stubbornness and sin and ask God to save you. And if you're saved, you need to yield your hearts to Him. But it's hard to do sometimes. I was teaching the boys this morning, the teenagers were looking at denying the flesh. And I gave them this illustration. I hope you follow. But if one of them went home today and I asked them and they all agree, they go home about starving from Sunday morning. You know, the preaching's so long. It's been so long they haven't grazed for 3 hours. I said, if you went home and there was fresh chocolate chip cookies on the table and your mom said, look, you can't have them now. You got to wait till after dinner. I said, you know what you're going to want to do? You're going to want to eat a chocolate chip cookie. I said, and you know what that is? And they all said, your flesh. I said, that's true. I said, is your flesh lusting after that? And they said, yes. I said, I understand that, but you know, it's not really the cookie your flesh is lusting after. See, somebody told you no. And the flesh wants to reign supreme. It could be a chocolate chip cookie. It could be anything. But just the fact somebody said you're not allowed to have it. Your flesh lusteth against the Spirit. What's he lust about? He wants to sit on the throne. That's what he lusts for. All them other things are just means to run your life. It's not really about the cookie. It's about wanting to be supreme. But that's what God wants to be in our life. He wants to be the supreme ruler in our life. So we see the gift brings with it unspeakable results. But let me say this, number four, quickly. The gift can be rejected. You know what many have done? They've rejected God and his free gift of salvation. Now, I could stand here and say I have no idea how someone would reject, sit in a service like this and reject the free gift, except I did it. So I do know how they can. And I've told you already, full of pride. But if we could back up, some are just totally indifferent. Some maybe been convicted, but full of pride. You know how proud we can be? How stubborn? There's some sitting here probably even today, and they're telling themselves right now, they're arguing, no, I'm saved. This is ridiculous. I'm saved. Stubborn, full of pride. Unwilling to see their condition for what it truly was. There's many that have rejected God. God said this to Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people. They have not rejected thee, they have rejected me. Isaiah 53, speaking of Jesus Christ, said he's despised and rejected of men. Some of you, you might not despise Christ per se, but you despise that conviction in your heart that you're not saved. He says in Proverbs, I have called and ye refuse. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. He said, when I spake in Isaiah, ye did not hear. He said, when I called, none did answer. He said, they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder. They made their hearts as an adamant stone. He said in Matthew, but they made light of it. Just a few of many examples in the Bible of those who refuse Christ. They don't take it serious. I'm telling you, eternal life, it's nothing to take lightly. Felix rejected Christ for another time. Agrippa was close, but never got saved. Many don't get saved because they love their sin. It says, they will not go after my words, for their heart goeth after their covetousness. They love their sin. They love their worldliness. They love the little facade and game they've got going on. Some don't want to give up their deceit and rebellion and pride. And I'm telling you, if you're not saved, they'll take you straight to hell. That woman in John 4, she was deceived about the gift. He said, if ye knew the gift of God. Listen, I tell you this morning, it's an unspeakable gift. As Paul's writing two chapters on giving, and specifically giving money in their lives, he just couldn't contain himself. And all I could think when he speaks of giving is what God gave for him. I'd help our giving instead of giving that money with glue on our fingertips. But if you keep it in light of what God gave, it's an unspeakable gift. Unspeakable love, unspeakable sacrifice, and it'll produce a change like you've never had before. So we try and say this more. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. If you are saved, maybe we ought to just thank God for that unspeakable gift that he's given us. Amen. Let's pray.